This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Malaysian rainforest. A realm of immense diversity. A living miracle of complexity. Within lives an animal so rare, it is like a phantom. The Malayan tiger. Once the tiger was the striped monarch of this ancient domain. Now, the striped hunter has become the hunted.
Good afternoon, this is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The message is clear. We only have a small window left to save the Malayan tiger, our national icon, and a species that plays a critical role in maintaining the balance of our forest ecosystem. But to know how many tigers still remain in Peninsular Malaysia and where, a definitive new survey is being carried out and thousands of camera traps have been placed throughout the rainforest, providing a rare insight into what happens deep in our rainforests, but also the dangers that lurk within. So the film Malaysia's Last Tigers, which is set to debut on National Geographic, looks at the work behind Malaysia's very first national tiger survey and how this has galvanized action to save the Malayan tiger. And I'm going to catch up with the film's director and producer, Harun Rahman and Lara Arifin of Nuvista Media Sendirian Berhad, to discuss the film that they made and also to learn about the NGO called RIMA, which they've set up to help with the conservation of the Malayan tiger. Welcome both of you. How are you today?
Morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
You
Hi.
For having us on the show. Really happy to be here.
Absolute pleasure. Gosh, it's been 10 years, I think, or so since we last caught up with you guys. So nice to have you back on the show. And can I just start off by saying well done on such an amazing documentary, the both of you. I watched it. I'm one of the lucky few who've watched it already. Gosh, the emotions you put me through, you know, I was horrified. I was in despair. I was in tears, but awed and hopeful and amazed as well. So yeah, congratulations. And all of that in the span of 48 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, you know, the film is a very, very comprehensive look at the state of Malayan tigers, right? The threats, the efforts to save them, you know, the forces working both for and against their survival. Why are tigers such an important species as far as you guys are concerned?
I think for me, you know, tigers are one of the most charismatic animals on the planet. And really, if you're a cat lover, then you'll be drawn to this majestic being. I think seeing the biggest or the largest of the cat species brought to its knees moves me to do something, makes me want to protect it and, you know, makes us want to try and save it. I think, So, I mean, you know, this beautiful, beautiful animal is really brought to its knees.
Yeah. And Harun, what about you?
For me, exactly the same what Lara said. At the end of the day, we love nature. And the tiger is right at the top, right at the apex of that. They're apex predators. They're the king. And if you love nature, you've got to love the king, right?
Yes. They are the umbrella species, isn't it? They're the ones, you know, we protect them all. And that is something that's important to the both of you as well, right? Through the work that you do, the conservation of the natural world.
I think for us, you know, we've been filming the outdoors, wildlife for such a long time already. So, I mean, we're very familiar with that world. And I think it gives us so much peace and comfort and joy. And I think, Harun would rather be filming in the jungle than filming anything else. I think that would be our first choice. So being with nature is, you know, something that's very important, I think, for us. But I think it's also important for all Malaysians, actually, you know, especially this during this COVID time. Everybody is just dying to get out.
Yeah.
Not to the malls, I think, but to sort of immerse yourself back in nature. And people underestimate that gift that nature brings.
And they underestimate how much we have right here in Malaysia, right? Right at our doorsteps. We just take it for granted until it's suddenly gone. Then we're like, hey, what happened there? You know, some illegal clearing. And that's when we start to think about it, unfortunately. So obviously the film is about the Malayan tiger, right? And, you know, through the film, you discuss, as I mentioned, all the different things, threats that are facing them. Maybe we can do a quick 101 on that. You know, why are their numbers dropping? We've got so many efforts in place to save them, but it's, we've still got, what, less than 150 left?
Yeah. So I think you know, at the end of the day, and we, you know, in the 1950s, they estimated about 3,000 tigers. Mm-hmm. And then by the turn of the century, 500 left. And that loss, I think, relates very much to habitat loss in Peninsular Malaysia. So, I mean, there's a direct correlation there. You know, today, if you look, there's only 43.6% of rainforest left. That's the official amount.
That's right.
So that correlation, I think, works. You know, the drop, the big drop is loss of habitat, loss of their home, really.
Mm.
And then I think from 2004 to 2005, you know, from around there, tigers face another big threat, which is poaching. And, you know, they're in demand for every part of their being, their skin, their bone, their teeth, their claws, and even now their whiskers for acupuncture needles. And this demand really comes from China and Vietnam. You know, for a practice steeped in tradition for medicinal purposes that really don't have a proven record, you know. So, but it's very steeped in tradition. So it's very difficult to break that demand for it. Which is still constant and still ongoing. And with the rise of China being such a, you know...
affluence.
Affluence that comes with development there, the demand also increases. So the reality is poaching, you know, is huge. And as tigers disappear from China, Vietnam, and Cambodia and Thailand, the poachers are now coming to Malaysia. So, of course, we have local poachers, but the big ones are the Vietnamese poachers that come in, and they're, you know, very, very organized. They come in for months at a time, and they will lay hundreds of snares. So it is, you know, these guys are coming to our jungles, taking what belongs in our jungles, belongs to us, all Malaysians. So our tigers really are being stolen from us, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that is the reality when it comes to the threat, the biggest threat now. I mean, just to sum up, illegal wildlife trade, I mean, whether we look at that in general, is massive. I mean, it is a huge business. It is the fourth most lucrative global crime after drugs, humans, and arms. So, and according to a 2016 UN report, it was between 7 to 23 billion US dollars per year. You know, they want it. And I think we can see in recent years, Perlitan has, you know, been very lucky in the last few months even to have so many captures. I think which is great that the customs have also come on board. You know, they're getting rhino horns, pangolins. Yesterday it was birds, you know, in a bus. So, I mean, the reality is the trade is
it's
really
thriving.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what has gotten through. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that we've caught. So
right.
A lot has gotten through.
Yeah.
So apart from poaching since 2004, 2005, the other big threat is actually forest fragmentation. So what's happened is that a lot of development has gone on around forest reserves, around the national parks and stuff like that, and created these islands of forests which are not connected to each other. And this is another problem that we're facing here.
I think the sad part is, you know, there's, I mean, places like Endau Rompin or the Southern Forest Complex is now disconnected from Tamanagara Forest Complex and Banjaran Titi Wangsa. So it's very much isolated. And people ask, what's the big deal? The big deal is, you know, people say, don't marry your cousin.
Exactly.
Right? And it's almost playing Russian roulette with the genes, you know. Mm. So it's the same thing, you know, with tigers. So you the genetic diversity reduces, and then you have problems. And I think the other part with fragmentation, which we feature in the film, is the issue of canine distemper. Even though Malaysia has recorded only two deaths, you know, we don't know if there's other tigers that have died. And it is such, for me, looking at the images of the tiger suffering, you know, having this disorder, you know, it's basically attacks the brain. And what a way to die.
Yeah.
You know, for us, and we are doing this, you know.
Yeah.
We are creating these islands. We are cutting the rainforest that their home is now so close to humans. And we are doing this. So I think we need to sort of stop and ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it? You know, I think there's no point looking back, but just to move forward. I think there's one more really in terms of threat to tigers that we also forget is the loss of prey. And I think the Samba deer, which is its preferred meal, it's the preferred meal because you can they can eat it and then they don't have to eat for a few days. So it sort of sustains them for a while. So it's really good for mums and the cubs.
Yeah.
So if she were to have a babi hutan or a smaller deer, then they would have to hunt more on a regular basis, which doesn't give her time or you know, to look after her cubs. So, I mean, I think that also plays an important role in trying to build up tiger numbers. So this, you know, idea of hunting is, I think, everywhere in the world, not just here. People want to go out and hunt, you know, to eat the rusa as a delicacy. So I always say you can buy rusa meat and people say, oh, tak apa, ini daripada
farm.
So I say try and avoid any kind of meat from a rusa samba because you don't know whether it's from a farm or whether it's really from the rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is also yet another problem for us. So, yeah.
So there's a lot of forces, as I said, you know, working against, you know, our poor tigers and, you know, everything that falls under it as well. And, you know, what you said, Lara, you know, we need to do something. And you guys decided to do something. You set up the NGO RIMAU to help in the conservation of tigers. Tell me a little bit about that.
I think we were frustrated with what's happening. I mean, I was
I get it.
Really frustrated that, you know, that nothing was happening. And I felt, you know, that we just weren't doing enough.
Mm.
And so, I mean, I thought to myself, I, you know, spoke with some very good friends and we said, okay, never mind. Let's just do it, you know, and set it up and see how best we can work to help save the tigers. So we are all volunteers, all of us. And we, you know, put in as much effort as we can. And I think today, I think we were lucky to embark on a project with Shahreza from Perak State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And together we sort of, you know, created this Menrak patrolling unit.
That's right.
And then it's formed completely of the local Jahai Orang Asli community. For us, I think we believe and we have the same idea with Shah is that, you know, that it is important for the people that live there to protect the area that they live in. So, and the Jahai Orang Asli are the best forest custodians. They know the place inside out. So it is almost a double win, you know, because we are protecting tigers, but at the same time, we're giving them a livelihood, you know, and a livelihood that they are comfortable with, you know. You're not asking them to leave their village, you know. They live in their village. They only work 12 to 14 days a month. So, you know, the rest of the time they get to do what they normally do. So I think for us, we wanted to make sure that they also loved doing the work, you know. So I think there was always consultation. Perak State Park were very good in doing the consultation work up front. So our job in terms of RIMAU is to help raise the funds to be able to you know, for the boys to be able to do what they can do
mm-hmm.
and protect tigers. So I'm happy to say now we have 20 rangers. Wow. That RIMAU supports in Royal Belum. We hopefully are going to increase that by another 10. We've just got a new grant in the next month or so. So that would be 30 in Royal Belum. And now we are expanding our work into Aman Jaya, which is just across. So now, you know, as we protect Royal Belum, I think that is one of the best protected areas now, which is good. And I think we will move outwards, sort of, that would be the plan. And, you know, sort of try and get Perak more to be fully protected and moving on. I mean, we are only doing one part of the work and it is a small part, you know, but I think we believe it is important to contribute. I think in saying, and one of the things that we highlight in the film is that the reality is a lot has happened in the last 2 years, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think Pareli Tan has now put in a lot more. Shall we say the ministry has given the resources, or the government has given the resources, to be able to employ what they call VET OA, which is the old veterans and the Orang Aslis to be employed in the forest. So I think that is a good step. Numbers need to come up. And, you know, for that, I mean, we don't even have, I don't think it's even reaching 600 or, I'm not exactly sure of the exact numbers, but it is still, if you count everybody's efforts, meaning all WWF, Rimau, Perak State Park, VET OA, OBK, which is the police involvement with Pareli Tan, we're still not even at 1,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, active patrollers. So I think there needs to be more. And I think we've had a lull in terms of COVID. A lull. I'm not saying it stopped. A lull. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as restrictions get lifted, I think they will be back. You know, the poachers mm-hmm. will be back.
Yeah. I just wanted to add one more thing about Rimau. Is that the fact that Rimau was set up by us who are non
science-based.
Yeah.
We are right.
We're filmmakers. Yeah. So that's what we do best. And we want to encourage people to actually join in conservation efforts in whatever they do. In our committee, we have an architect, we have a housewife, we have a lecturer.
An ex-lawyer. Everybody contributing.
Yeah, and everybody contributing in the best way they can.
Yeah.
The architect is helping us design a base camp for our rangers. The lawyers are looking at the laws and how it can be improved. And we are making films to advocate conservation. So that's what we're encouraging people to do. If you don't have any skills, if you can bake a cake and sell it and give it to conservation, it doesn't have to be given to Rimau, it can be given to
anyone,
WWF, yeah. Whoever you want. Mm. I think there's
other NGOs. I mean, I love the work that is being done by MICAT to a certain extent, getting volunteers to come and walk the area. I mean, if you can replicate that 20 times into different areas, that itself would, you know, then help deter. You know, it is no one solution, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the other thing that I think for all of us NGOs, we've been pushing for many, many years, is this has to be done, you know, follow what example has been done in India or Nepal or USSR. I mean, sorry, not USSR, Russia. You need political will, you know, at the highest level. I mean, all of us are small little elements that are trying our best, but really you need it from the very top. The commitment from the Prime Minister, the commitment from all the Menteri Besars and the states, you know, at the highest level of commitment. Then only I think we have a chance to do anything, to improve, you know, all the problems that we face today, you know, whether it's a flood here and landslide here. I mean, it is so depressing, right? But I think there has to be commitment on the highest level to do something about this, you know? And because tigers are the umbrella species, because they are at the very top, you're not just protecting them. We're protecting everything else down below them and including their home.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, they just... Yeah,
and that includes us, by the way.
Yeah, and that
exactly.
Includes,
yeah, clean water.
Yeah.
The health of the forest also will impact our health. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. And I think it's also, you know, look around us in terms of what COVID has done to us.
Precisely.
You know, it has crippled the world, right? It's crippled us. And this is not the first of the pandemics. I'm sure there'll be others coming forward. And we have to take action. We cannot sit and just accept. I think we have to demand it of our members
leaders.
Of parliament, you know?
Yeah.
Ask them, what are you doing for us? You know, I think this definitely is something that Malaysians are speaking up more so now, which is nice to see in the Kuala Langat
Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, the Di Gazetment. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that is inspiring to see, you know. So I think we must be hopeful and keep pushing and keep asking, keep trying. But the window is small. I think the window is very small.
And that's where, you know, also the film comes in, you know, to get this all of society effort behind it, you know. And we're going to talk about that after this quick break. I'm speaking today to Lara Arifin. She's the president of Rimau. She's also a producer with Nuvista. And Harun Rahman, he's a director, cameraman, also with Nuvista Media, Sindirian Berhad. They are going to release the film called Malaysia's Last Tigers, which is set to debut very, very soon. And we're going to find out about that film after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Harun Rahman and Lara Arifin. Lara is the president of Rimau. She's a producer with Nuvista Media, Sindirian Berhad. Harun is the director and also a cameraman with Nuvista Media, Sindirian Berhad. Basically, they're the brains and, you know, the brawn behind the whole thing, behind the whole outfit. They are going to release the documentary film Malaysia's Last Tigers that's going to premiere on National Geographic on the 23rd of September. And as I mentioned earlier, I had the privilege of watching it already. It's amazing. 48 amazing minutes. And, you know, if you need to learn everything about the Malayan tiger, it's all there in that documentary. Let's talk about the film, you guys. Why did you want to make it?
So, I mean, it was, for me, I think we wrote our first proposal in 2005. Yeah. Ghost in the Garden of Eden. It was like so mysterious. I mean, why did we want to make it? I think, you know, tigers are silent victims. They don't have a voice. And I think it was important to make sure that their voices were heard. And I think apart from showcasing the beauty of the film, I mean, of the not only our rainforest, but, you know, of the tiger itself, but it is, you know, to help them. I think that's why we wanted to make the film more than anything else.
One of the things that we've worked with scientists a lot, researchers and conservationists, and one of the issue, because scientists tend to talk in scientific language, yeah, and sometimes it's very difficult for public to understand. They're long-winded. They have to, you know. So as filmmakers, we can simplify things. We can make things easier to understand, and that helps the cause to a certain extent. It gets the message across easier and faster. And of course, we want to show Malaysians what they have. If you don't know what you have, then you there's no reason to protect it.
Yeah.
So we want to show Malaysians what wonderful things we have, what wonderful places we have, and highlight that.
And that definitely came through in the film, you know. Even though I do the show Earth Matters, you know, it was watching it, seeing, you know, what the camera traps actually capture, right? All the different, the diversity, the different species that we have in just a small space alone, right? It's amazing. You forget in our little concrete jungles here. Again, about the film, it uses Malaysia's very first national tiger survey as a starting point, right, to discuss all the issues surrounding tigers, their existence. For those who are unfamiliar with that survey, maybe you can help explain what it's all about.
Yeah, I think the national tiger survey was carried out by Perhelitan. And the purpose for the national tiger survey was basically to know how many tigers we have left and where, you know, so that they could then make plans on, you know, coming up with plans on how to protect the tiger, what's the best way to protect the tigers. Now, to do the National Tiger Survey is such a big project. I mean, because the reality is our jungle is not easy to access. No. You know, we're not like in India where you can drive and see tigers, and it is so much easier than our landscape. So the National Tiger Survey, you know, was led by Perhelitan, but also carried out by other NGOs, WWF, Belindung, WCS, and RIMBA. So they all were sort of given their own plots to carry out the work. And Belindung had the biggest area to cover. So basically, we worked with Perhelitan and Belindung to have a look at the footage of the National Tiger Survey. So, I mean, by the time we came in, was already 2018. So a lot of the survey had been done already. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were working with WWF on another documentary earlier, I think beginning of 2018. And they also had already finished their work in Royal Belong. Mm-hmm. And the alarm bells were already ringing loud and clear that numbers had dropped significantly in places like Royal Belong. So the tiger survey basically is completed. But the official results have not been released. We are still waiting for those results to come out, and hopefully soon. I think it's been a difficult year for the ministry, and you know, all in terms of having such, you know, change of government, and yeah. And so we all are patiently waiting for the official results to come out and the actions that will be taken with knowing how many tigers are left.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I mean, we have an indication because the Prime Minister, previous Prime Minister, Tan Sri Mahyudin Yassin, announced that it was below 150.
That's right.
Earlier this year.
Yeah. But like you said, we're still waiting for the definitive sort of answers from that survey, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, and that is what the film also discusses, right? Why it's important to know these numbers, why, you know, why we need to know where and how many, right? Those are very important in planning out the conservation. You know, what were some of the surprising discoveries that you guys made when you were making the film?
I think when we were, in terms of looking through the National Tiger Survey images, what was amazing was the biodiversity. For me, I fell in love with all the different animals. And again, I think what the film brings out is, you know,
this secret world.
Because the reality is we've been, you know, filming in the jungle and, you know, doing treks for so long, and you never see anything. It is so secretive.
Yeah.
And the beauty of the National Tiger Survey is that it brings this life to us. Even for me, I fell in love, you know, I fell in love with all those amazing creatures.
Yeah.
I think the depressing part is still, I mean, the biggest, you know, of course, the tiger numbers are extremely low. But the three-legged animals in the rainforest, for me, that I think broke my heart.
Same,
you know, breaks to see what we are allowing to happen. So, and I think, I hope more Malaysians get access to watch this, that to know that we are doing this, we are allowing this to happen.
Yeah. And just to you know, for those unfamiliar, the reason there are three-legged animals is because of the snares, right, which are put by the poachers there.
So basically, you know, poachers come to target tigers, but unfortunately, everything else gets targeted too. So you get elephants in snares, you get tapirs in snares, clouded leopard in snares,
sunbears,
panthers, sun bears, and what they do is they bite off their limbs to get away.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how painful it must be for them, the suffering that these animals have to go through. Would you do it to yourself or your own children? Yeah. You wouldn't.
And even then, after biting off their limbs to get away from the snare, surviving in the jungle with three legs is very difficult.
For hunting
and, you know. And a lot of times we see these animals come out to villages along the way or plantations and stuff like that. And Perilitan, unfortunately, is landed with the job of trying to save these animals. So Perilitan brings these animals back to their wildlife center in Sungkai and try to rehabilitate them and, if possible, send them back to the jungle. But in most cases, if the animal is three-legged, then it's very difficult to actually send them back to the rainforest.
Yeah, it's really depressing, especially when you think about why these snares are being placed there. It's to feed our desire for their parts, which, you know, as you said, nothing is proven about it. But still, we are fueling that. We're fueling this trade, aren't we? We are the ones, as you keep saying, we are the ones who are behind this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, as the director of the film, Harun, what sort of responsibility did you feel when you were making this? You know, I'm sure you had tons of footage that you had to leave out. How did you decide what was going to go in? You know, I can't stop telling you how amazing the film is, but, you know, what sort of responsibility did you feel?
It is quite difficult in the sense that because it's quite a big subject and there's so many things that we wanted to see. Again, if we showed it to our scientist friends and they wanted a series, really, to explain everything. But we only have an hour and we tried to cover best we can. And there were quite a few things that we had to take out, mainly because we felt that it was not it was not appropriate for an international audience. Maybe it was appropriate for a Malaysian audience who would understand it better,
okay,
but not for an international audience. So we had to make some choices. We do have all these segments that we took out that we want. We will put it into a longer documentary and show that to people.
Excellent.
So simplifying it and making having people feel for the tigers, feel for the animals, and also, like you said, giving people hope at the end that something is being done. But it will depend on us. It will depend on everyone to actually play a role. The responsibility, in a sense, to convince people that it is important. And a lot of times, the rainforest and animals in it, there's a disconnect.
Mm.
There's a disconnect with people in their cars and in their offices in the urban centers. So it's actually to bring that connection back. And to bring that connection back is to see the beauty in it, I think. If you see a beauty in something, you will protect it.
I mean, I loved, you know, the footage of, you know, from the camera traps, which you included, and you showed the baby animals playing with their parents, you know, small little things like this, which we don't get to see, which of course tug at the heartstrings. And then of course, you guys juxtaposed it with three-legged animals. Gosh, you guys, I tell you, really putting everyone through the emotional ringer.
I think it was quite, can you imagine the wonderful feeling when we go to retrieve the camera traps.
Yeah, we're so excited.
We were so excited to see what was captured.
Yeah,
and of course, when we do get something, it's wonderful. We were screaming in the middle of the jungle. It's like, wow, you know, wonderful footage.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, all you get is a leaf that's blowing in front of the camera trap, and all you see is this leaf. We have thousands of leaves blowing in the wind. And no animals, you know. So the National Tiger Survey, I think, deployed thousands of camera traps in thousands of locations, over 50,000 square kilometers. So it is a mammoth task. Thousands and thousands of man hours setting up these camera traps, tracking, going up hills, down valleys, crossing rivers, and dealing with bugs and leeches and mud, and
it is a difficult
job. Mm. Very, very difficult. I hope that people see that and appreciate what these people go through to actually count the tigers. It's amazing.
I think, you know, I'd like to really say, you know, thank you to Pelindo and Hong specifically, because they didn't have to help us at the end of the day, because their job was in terms of doing the tiger survey. All you need is a still picture, a photograph.
Yeah.
You don't need video images. So he helped put in, on one side would be video image and one side would be stills. So it was really being, you know, getting, you know, because at the end of the day for us, a documentary is moving images, right? So we depended on having video of the animals, not just a photograph. So I think in terms of the film itself, you know, Harold and I, when we make a documentary, we spend months. I would say the editing process was probably close to 8 or 9 months of editing. So most people, you know, spend a week in edit and that's it. And I think we spent 8 months in edit, you know, to and fro, edited sequences. And then, you know, we would
consult
and adjust, and, you know, things get rewritten all the time. So I don't think people realize how much effort goes into the editing process, you know, the thought process.
Yeah.
And and then we had our distributors in the UK having a look at it, and then also giving their feedback and saying that, you know, this would work, this doesn't work. So it was a good, you know, consultative process. Collaborative process.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we showed it to the people here, get their feedback too, you know, and so, I mean, all that had to be put into place.
For sure.
So that process, I mean, we had to throw out three big sequences, which, as Haran says, that hopefully we will put in into a longer 60-minute version, maybe.
I think for us, when we produce a documentary, one of the important things is that people, after they watch the documentary, we wanted to change their minds. We wanted to convince them of something. And then it's basically a catalyst for action. And that's important for us in a documentary like this, is that after watching this documentary, you want to do something, you want to highlight, you want to push others to do something. And that's important for this documentary.
Yeah, I think, you know, even what you said earlier, Haran, you know, if you just, you know, just want to bake a cake and send the funds to somebody who's working in conservation in their own way, you can do that too. You know, there's some way that everybody can help, because there's always that talk about not enough boots on the ground, not enough funding, but everybody can actually help with that, you know, if only they are interested too, basically, right?
So yeah.
I do think that the film will have that sort of impact. I guess, you know, that is what you hope the audience will take away from it, right? That they will be galvanized into action as well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And do you think, you know, films like this can also help impact, you know, political sort of decisions, you know, the political landscape in the country? Do you think that will also play a part? The film will play a part in that?
We hope so. Over the course of, like Lara was saying, we showed it to a lot of people as well. So we showed it to some people who make decisions. We showed it to people in Perlitan, in the government. And many people also didn't know that there were three-legged animals and what the issues were. Mm. So hopefully, I'm quite sure that the powers that be, if they watch this documentary, they will take action.
I think at the end of the day, there is sometimes a disconnect. You know, again, people at the top don't really know what's happening, you know, lower down, you know, and I think the power of images is so powerful, you know, that you can, you know, get these emotions going and galvanize people to do stuff.
And again, it's simplifying the problems. And once you present it in such a way, then they can talk to the scientists, they can talk to the conservationists, what are the real issues on the line. For instance, animal-human conflict, when you have elephants, when you have tigers coming into villages and stuff like that. Why is this happening? So we can actually analyze and see why it's happening, where the issues are, whether it's a disconnected forest, whether there's land clearing, whether there's some disturbance somewhere. And of course, when you solve the problem before it happens, then you have an easier time of it.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the wildlife department have to go and rescue an animal. We don't want that rescue to happen. We want the animals to be safe and humans to be safe as well. So we want their plantations to be safe. We want their farms to be safe. So we want to prevent these issues before they happen, before the landslide happens, is address the issues.
Yeah, for sure. And okay, and the film is set to be released just tomorrow, right, on the 23rd. How can folks catch the film?
You can watch it on Astro, National Geographic Channel, Channel 551 at 10 p.m. I think it will be repeated. I'm sure it will be repeated quite a few times. I do realize a lot of people have asked me, Astro, la, you know. So I think Haran and I are looking at, you know, what we would like to do is we've always enjoyed having sort of private screenings as well, you know. So sort of,
one of the nice things about documentaries like this is that if we bring it on a roadshow, for instance, we bring it to towns, different towns, different villages, different communities, even, and then we show the video, the documentary to them, and then there is a discussion after that. And we hope to do that in the near future after all this COVID business is sorted out. And hopefully we'll bring some scientists, some conservationists, and hopefully some government officials as well, who can explain to people what's happening on the ground and take questions and answer them.
We'd love to get the film screened to the Prime Minister.
Start the conversation.
You know, we would love to have, you know, more of the people in power to watch the film.
Yeah.
And
maybe we'll have special screening at the Parliament.
That would be awesome.
That would be great. I don't know whether they want to entertain us, but yeah.
That's a different zoo over there.
The tiger is on our national crest, so that would be,
At the end of the day, you know, it was a difficult decision for us where to go in terms of the airing as well. I think what we wanted to do was to be able to be independent on the film. We didn't want the film to go through too much censorship, or So I think we live in a country where it's so difficult to sometimes speak your mind. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think that becomes, it's always a balance.
Putting it on National Geographic also gives it some prestige. It gives you a stamp of approval almost. It is, approved by National Geographic, and people will accept that this,
I mean, I was very excited because I have a 6-year-old who watches National Geographic all the time, and I'm so excited for her to catch a locally produced film about Malaysia, about our forests, about our wildlife. And so I'm really excited. And I think, lots of people are going to be excited that, you guys made this and it's about our country and, what's at stake for us. So, I mean, that's really exciting for me. And I'm sure it'll be exciting for a lot of people as well.
Yeah,
I think that's important. I mean, we've always said, we've always, as filmmakers, we're always frustrated that you get all these foreigners coming and telling stories about our own home, our own forests. And it really irks us sometimes that we don't have those opportunities.
Yeah.
If Harold and I had our choice, we would only make nature films. We would, always be telling the stories about our animals, and because there's endless stories to tell. I think Taman Negara as a location is so unknown.
Yeah.
We only have, I think, the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Taman Negara. It is a spectacular place. So I think, it's a shame that, we don't know more about our own backyard.
Well, hopefully this will be, a gateway to more coming your way as well. So again, that's premiering on National Geographic. But, if anyone would like to get in touch with you guys for Rimau, support the work that you guys do through that, what's the best way that they can do that?
We have our website, which is rimau.ngo. Mm-hmm. And also they can email us at h@rimau.ngo.
Which is harimau@ngo.
Very clever.
So, I mean, get in touch with us and we'd be more than,
We have Facebook for Rimau as well.
Instagram. And I think at the end of the day, get in touch with us. If you really, really want to watch it, get in touch with us, through Nuvista's website. And we'll be more than willing to have a discussion and a screening.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Lara Arifin and Harun Rahman. They're with Nuvista Media Sendirian Berhad. The film Malaysia's Last Tigers is premiering tomorrow on National Geographic at 10 p.m., correct? And again, just catch that film whatever way you can. If not, get in touch with them. Just head to rimau.ngo or follow them on social media and find out how you can help and how you can get involved. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.